Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Father. I hinted earlier on that this morning will be a morning with things that are familiar. And we are in the Christmas season, and so we are looking at aspects of the Christmas story, the Christmas account. And we're continuing with the Christmas series, Connected Christmas. And so this morning, I really want us to just reconnect or connect again with the Christmas story. And the thing is this, the Christmas story is so familiar to us, isn't it? Even if we don't go to or come to church on any regular basis, the Christmas story is probably one of the most familiar accounts that we know. I mean, I could say to any of you, who are the parents of Jesus, the earthly parents of Jesus, and most of you would say, Joseph and Mary. I could ask you aspects of the story about, what did the wise men follow in the sky? And you would no doubt say a star. The story is just so familiar. I could ask you, and I am asking you now, who visited Jesus at his birth? Let's just shout some out. Come on, you're familiar with the story. Who visited Jesus at his birth? Sorry, I can't. What? Sorry? Wise men. Who else? Shepherds. Who else? Who was there? Angels. Yeah? Okay, we got shepherds, wise men, and angels. And the thing is this, the Christmas story can be so familiar, and yet we can get it so wrong. We need to connect again with Christmas. We're going to read an account, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Verses 1 to 11. And I trust that you come with open eyes, open spirit this morning. Let's pray together. Father God, we ask for revelation, understanding, and inspiration. As we come to your, as we read your word, let it renew our minds. As we hear your word, let it transform our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And we do need revelation, please. Let's look at this with fresh eyes this morning, because you're going to be surprised, some of you. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them, "Where is the Christ to be born?" They told him, "In Bethlehem in Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And let's read verse 12. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. And we can be so familiar with the Christmas story, and yet we can miss and get it so wrong. The Magi, we said, were at the birth of Jesus. Well, let me give you a warning right here. Friends, I'm going to give you a spoiler that might ruin your Christmas. Yeah, it's true. It may ruin your Christmas, and Christmas may never, or the Christmas story might never seem the same again, but you have been warned. Sometime after Jesus' birth, he was visited by the Magi, the wise men. We generally aren't comfortable talking about magicians, and so over time we talk about Magi, wise men, scholarly men. And these were well-educated men, highly educated. Hence, that's why they were called wise men, because they were probably more educated than the ordinary people of the day. They probably studied many things, including astronomy. And that's why they paid particular attention to the star when it rose. The reality is that it may not have been a single star. It may have been a coming together, if you like, a confluence of planets aligning themselves. And so in the sky, it may have looked exceptionally bright. We don't know. It could just as easily have been a miraculous event, because after all, God can do anything. By equal measure, it could have been a single star. Some even argue that it may have been an angel. The reality is this, though, we do not know. But what we do know is this. The Magi, the wise men, were not at the birth of Jesus. The wise men came after the birth of Jesus. The wise men came after Jesus was presented in the temple. Luke 2, verses 22 to 39 tells us about the presentation of Jesus in the temple. This was after the 40 days that were required after Mary had given birth. And there was a 40-day purification period where she couldn't mix with anyone and she had to wait. And therefore, on the night of Jesus's birth, the Magi, contrary to what so many of us think, the Magi were not at the birth of Jesus. The Magi were not there peering over the cradle, looking into the cradle at the King of Kings. That song, The Little Drummer Boy, it may be a great song, it might be sentimental, but it's not biblical. There was no drummer boy at the birth of Jesus. Likewise, the wise men were not there at the birth of Jesus. Look at the story. When the Magi talked to Herod before going to find Jesus, Herod got the idea from the Magi about the timings of Jesus. Herod asked them, "When did you see the star?" And then from that, he worked out the timings of when Jesus, the King of Kings, may have been born. By this time, it's quite possible that Jesus may already have been as old as 2, certainly somewhere between 1 and 2 years of age. We don't know. And so he certainly wasn't at this time, the time of the Magi, a baby. And so the Magi, friends, and there's, you know, where I have to ruin your Christmas. The wise men were not at the birth of Jesus. They were not standing by the side of the manger. Matthew 2, verses 10 to 11 states that the Magi, and you can read it for yourself in verse 11, it says that the Magi, when they arrived, didn't go into a stable, but they went into a house. This tells us that it was a later period after the Magi turned up. And then we think about how many. Traditionally, we think about maybe three Magi, primarily because it mentions the three gifts: the gold, frankincense, and the myrrh. The gold speaks of his kingship. The frankincense speaks about his divinity. It speaks about prayer and incense, and it speaks of the divinity of Christ. And the myrrh speaks about the purpose for which he was born: to die for the sins of the world. Imagine for a moment, those of you with new babies, or you know, those of you who have young children, imagine for a moment that you go to see a newborn baby, and someone in the family, because there's always one, someone in the family turns up with a coffin. I thought this might fit you. I thought this might just suit you. That's what was happening. That was the symbolism of the myrrh. It spoke about his death. It was an embalming oil that you would embalm a body with at the point of death. Imagine that. The birth of a newborn baby, and immediately someone turns up and is pointing you and reminding you about his death. We don't know whether it was just three gifts. The three gifts are mentioned. It could have been more. We don't know whether it was three wise men. It could have been more. We just don't know. The story doesn't tell us. But what we do know is this. We know that the Magi came after the birth of Jesus. We know the Magi turned up after his presentation in the temple, around 40 days after his birth. We know that Jesus was not still in a manger when the Magi turned up, because the scripture, and we've all read it, the scriptures tell us that they went into a house. The Magi, we know, went to Nazareth. Matthew says that they followed the star, but it doesn't say that they followed Herod's directions. We also know that the Magi came to visit before Jesus was 2 years old. Matthew says that after the Magi left, Mary and Joseph took him to Egypt because Herod was about to kill him. And we know that because Herod asked the wise men. He said, "Where is this king to be born?" And the wise men, quoting the scriptures of Micah and the other prophets, mentioned Bethlehem, and that's why Herod thought, Bethlehem. If I kill every child under the age of 2, I might just be lucky enough to hit the right one. I might just be lucky enough to kill the one who has been born to be king of the Jews. And so that's the background. And so I wanted to set that out before we go any further, because we have to understand the context of the Christmas story. We have to understand that Jesus at this point wasn't a baby. He wasn't in the stable when the Magi turned up. But actually, by now, he was probably a toddler running around. And it was a time when the Roman army were occupying the land. They were in charge of a vast area, but what they would do is they would put a local person, a local guy, in charge of the area. And in this case, it was Herod. He was a puppet king. He was king in everything, in all but name. Or rather, he was a king in everything but except name. He had no real power. He was just there to collect the taxes, to keep the peace on behalf of the occupying Roman army. When Jesus was born, it was the time of King Herod. And after that night, when Jesus was born, the wise men, it tells us in the account, came from the east. They said, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." We saw the star in the east and we have come to worship him. These magi, they were intelligent men. They were sensible men. They were wise men, the scriptures tells us. And if the king of the Jews had come along, and he had, looking at the stars, interpreting the times, they would have thought, if this Messiah, if the anointed one of God has indeed come into the world, then we who are wise, because the scriptures tell us that, we who are learned men had better get over there and worship him. They followed the star from their own country to the place where Jesus was, I was going to almost said lay, but of course he wasn't, to the place that Jesus himself was. They came into Bethlehem and they were asking around, where is this one who the scriptures have prophesied about? Where is this king of the Jews? And of course, in asking around, Herod himself would have heard of these men asking for the king of the Jews. And it disturbed Herod. It disturbed him greatly, and he thought, there is no one is going to usurp me from my position. And so he brings the wise men to himself and says, I want you to go. And notice that Herod doesn't just say, go and look for him. He says, go and look diligently for him. In other words, don't leave anything unturned. Find him. And when you find him, come back to me, report to me, tell me what you have found, so that I too may go and worship him. For the wise men, for the magi, for the religious leaders of the day, it was a relatively easy question because they knew the scriptures back to front. They knew what Micah had said. They knew that God had promised the coming king. They knew that down through the ages, various people had spoken about the one that people should look to. They knew that Micah, 700 years previously, had spoken that quote, which we read there in the text. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of the people of Israel. They knew their scripture. They knew what God had said, and they were looking for the Messiah. And Herod sent the Magi, go, search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may go and worship him. There are people who say all the time, you know, if God does this, if he does this, if something happens, if this turns out right, then I will worship him. Then I will give him my life. And it was no different then. Herod gave the idea that he wants to know where Jesus was so that he could worship him. But deep down in his heart, he had no intention of worshiping him, but his intention was to kill him. And some people are like that today. They say the right things on the face of it, but in their heart of hearts, they know that even if the thing that they are asking for happens, they have no intention of worshiping God. They have no intention of giving their life over to a sovereign God. And then the scriptures tell us that after they heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And it says, when they saw where the star had stopped, it says they were overjoyed. They were thrilled. They were overwhelmed because they had found the one that they had been looking for. And listen, sometimes we need to be overjoyed. Sometimes we need to be exuberant with our praise, having found the one that we've been looking for. I think I quoted you two last week, and I'm going to quote them again. Some people still haven't found what they're looking for, but we who are friends of Jesus, we who have put our confidence in him, we have found the light of the world, we have found the truth, and I tell you, that should bring a joy. Sometimes it doesn't always exude from us. We don't always look as though we're happy with what we found. We don't look as though we're happy with our status. But it says the wise men, they were overjoyed. And I tell you, we need more and more to be overjoyed in terms of what we have in and through Christ. On coming to the house to worship the king, it tells us that they opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having found the one that they had left their country for, the one that they had traveled hundreds of miles for, not really sure what they will find, but they knew that there was someone that God had promised. They knew that that he had come. Having found him, they laid their treasures. And the scripture says this, that they bowed down and worshipped. They bowed down and worshipped. I don't know about you. I don't know if you can remember the time when you were born, or even when a grandchild or someone was born and everyone went round. But I can tell you this. It might be different for you. When I was born, you might be surprised at this, but when I was born, Queen Elizabeth didn't come round to see me. I know. Couldn't believe it. But the reality is she didn't. She didn't stop what she was doing. That when they, she didn't get a letter to say that, you know, in October 1961, Ian Earl Anderson, yes, I did give you my middle name just then. she didn't get a letter to say that Ian Earl Anderson had been born. She didn't stop what she was doing to come and see me and to worship me. Neither did the professors of Oxford and Cambridge and Yale and Harvard and all those other great universities. None of them came to see me. I carried that for many years, but I'm over it now. I'm healed. It's not surprising, is it, that none of those people came to see me? It would have been absolute foolishness, stupidity, had they come to see me. And yet, that's exactly what happened in year zero when Jesus was born. Wise men, intellectual men, well-read men traveled hundreds of miles to come and worship the king. We don't know much about them, but we do know that they came from the east. We don't know what they were called, although some songs have attributed names for them. But we don't know their names. We just know that they came from the east. We don't know exactly how many of the wise men there were, but we know that they came. We don't even quite know what they did, but they came. They may have been scholarly. They may have been professors. They may have been local rulers. But all we know is that they came. So we don't actually know a lot about the Magi, and yet they are so vital to the story, the Christmas story of Jesus. But what we do know is that having traveled hundreds of miles to find the King of Kings, they were not Jews of themselves. They didn't even live in the land, but they understood this one thing, that a child had been born, and that child was significant not just to Israel, but that child was significant to them as well. And listen, you might not be Jewish by descent. You might not even call yourself a Christian. But I want to tell you that the birth of Christ is as significant to you as it was to them. Christ came that he would reconcile us, we who are fallen individuals, that we could be reconciled to the Father. These were wild, wise men, and yet they recognized that that the birth of Christ was not insignificant, but actually it had great significance, not just to them, but to the world. And they said, "We have come to worship him." Listen, I don't know your position where you are, spiritually speaking. I don't know what your standing is. I don't know whether you're a person of faith or even a person of no faith. But listen, if Jesus is the Christ, if he is the Christ, the right response for us, just like the Magi, is to worship him. To worship him means a willingness, demonstrating a willingness to lay everything down, our own agenda, and to acknowledge his sovereignty. I used to think that worship was about coming to church. I used to think that it was about coming to church and being bored and possibly, on a good day, maybe wearing sandals. Praise God, church is nothing like that. Hallelujah. Church is nothing like that. But some people think that that's what it means to worship Christ. It doesn't. It means putting ourselves out for Jesus. It means asking for more revelation about who he is. It means giving Jesus our best, holding nothing back. It means letting him be the center of our lives. It means letting him and acknowledging him that he is sovereign over all. We have come to worship him. And God is still inviting men, women, and children today to come and worship the King of Kings. The wise men, and I'm calling them wise men at this point, the wise men came to worship him. And lots of people today think that you have to be stupid, or you're one short of a six pack or whatever. You know, you have to be a little bit stupid or a little bit simple to worship Jesus. But these wise men would probably have said, it is wiser to come and worship him. It is wiser to come and see than to not come and see. Because what if he is the one that God himself said would come? What if Jesus is the promised Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ, the light of the world? Psalm 14 verse 1 says this, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." The fool says in his heart, there is no God. And so I want to suggest that it's probably wiser if you can't understand everything about Jesus, it's probably wiser to put your trust in him anyway. Of course there are things you won't understand about Jesus. Of course there are things you won't be able to work out. But does that mean that you are stupid? No, it doesn't. Because you can't work things out, does that mean that you're not clever? No, it doesn't. If you can't understand things about Christ, there are still things that you don't understand about God, it's not because you're not clever enough. It's simply this: because he's God and you're not. That's what it comes down to. He's God and you're not. There are things, again, it says in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 29, I think, it says the secret things belong to God, but those things revealed belong to our children and our children's children. In other words, there are always going to be things about God that we don't know and we will never be able to fathom. But that's because he's God and we are not. So listen, the wise men came to worship the King of Kings. They came to worship the Christ, because having considered everything else, having read the books, looked at the stars, studied for years and years and years, read the scriptures, they concluded that they couldn't afford not to come and worship him. They concluded that it wasn't the wise thing to do to bow down before him. And I want to finish with this. Queen Victoria in the 1880s ruled a third of the world. And she said this, that she couldn't wait to meet Jesus. Why? This is what she said. So that I can cast my crown before him. Wow. Someone as powerful as that recognized that there is someone, there is a ruler, there is a sovereign far greater than anyone else on this in this world. And she said, I can't wait to meet Jesus so that I can cast my crown before him. She recognized that there is someone in the person of Christ who deserved to be worshipped. And I want to encourage you this Christmas, read the Christmas story again. Don't let the familiarity rob you of the gems and the treasure that is in there to be revealed. And I want to encourage you again, if the wise men, and remember they are called wise men for a reason, they're called wise men for a reason. If the wise men considered it worth going to find the King of Kings, to find Jesus, to find the one who was promised, and bow down and worship him, then surely.